Grace and peace. Good evening. It's a blessing to be here, a blessing to get here safely. And thank you for the opportunity to teach again about the Lord Jesus Christ. My topic is Christ, our life, eternal and experiential. And so, and once again, I mean, I've been so edified today. I'm sitting there thinking as Rick was teaching, just thinking how beautiful it is that when you're listening, I'm thinking I was thinking some of the same things. Maybe it's like the stream of consciousness of the life of God. Just kind of like jump in that stream of thinking. And he's wanting to say something. And it's my hope that I might be filled by the Holy Spirit to speak to you about the Lord Jesus Christ as well. But maybe it's his order. Maybe he does these things on purpose. And we say it every conference, we say it. But I definitely feel like just everything is just so edifying. The teaching, singing, the worship, just all just boom, like thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and edifying me. So thank you to everybody who's been teaching and singing and ministering. It's really been a blessing. And I was just talking to my wife, like we really look forward to coming here. So it's a blessing. I'm going to be respectful of time here, but I'm realizing I've got too many things here. So we'll see how much we get through. But it's an exciting look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1, 18. Let's start there. Revelation 1, verse 18. I just like how this gets said here. We'll start here. We'll use a couple verses. We'll use Revelation 1. We're going to use some verses in John to kind of be a starting place, a hub where we can begin this focus as we look at this life. Revelation 1. I will just read verse 18, and I actually started verse 17 to give you some context. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he put his right hand on me, saying, "Don't be fearing." By the way, I love how whenever God shows up, he tells you this. Like, do you see his heart, how he knows you're going to just freak out? Like, I mean, we're dealing directly with, you're going to get scared. He knows you're going to get scared. And he just says, "Hey, just calm down. Don't be afraid. I know you're going to be afraid." I just like how he's so gracious all the time. And this is what he says. "Don't be fearing. I am the first and the last, the living one. And I became dead. And behold, I'm living into the ages of the ages." Jesus Christ is the living one. He is the one who is, how would I say this? I don't want to say he's just living. He's not defined by that. Living is just who he is. He's the one who is alive. Even in this way, when he's talking about himself as incarnate, and he's saying, I mean, who else can say this? I became dead. Like, I took on something that was actually different than me. I became a human so I could take on this thing called death. But I am the living one. And behold, I'm living into the ages. Like, I'm still I'm going to continue living. I'm going to keep on living. Let's also, as we kind of get a hub, let's look at John 17. John 17, John 17:3. Okay. John 17:3. And this is the eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, knowing God and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. So he introduces himself as, he says, I am the living one. I am the one who lives. And then he says, if you want to, this is eternal life. It's defined by, for you, eternal life is knowing God, knowing me. That's what it is. It's actually knowing me. Okay, let's use those two verses as a hub, because as we look at this, right, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're discussing him as our life. He is the life that we, now that we're believers, now that we know him, he is the life that we've been given the opportunity to know. And if we want to know what it means to have life, we have to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is that life. He's not I think about, this is kind of my daughter. I've got a 15-year-old daughter. There's phrases they use, you know. They use phrases that are like slang type phrases, and maybe you haven't heard this phrase, but they'll talk about stuff. They'll say, "You bout that life?" What do you mean? You bout that life? I don't know what you bout that life. What it means? This is what I think it means. It means like, okay, you got this certain person who lives a certain lifestyle, and they do all these types of things. They're emulating a certain life. That's defined by, it's actually defined by flesh. They're saying, I'm living this type of, are you about that life? I'm living this type of life. It's a fast life. It's a carnal life. It's a worldly life. It's a money life. It's a women life. It's a pleasure life. It's a carnal life. That's how I'm living. Are you about that life? And when it comes to the Lord, we could say the same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. You bought that life? It's a life that is actually not lived by you. It's a life that's lived by the Lord Jesus Christ through you. It's his life. Are you about that life? Are you about living a life that is lived by him? It's actually not, you're not orchestrating, you're not defining it, you're not delivering it, you're not performing it. You are, in place of you, the living one, the one who you know, and the way you live this life is by the person you know. You knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll use that as a hub. Let's talk. I'm going to go to a number of texts here. We're going to start by talking about this life in a little bit more doctrinal way, and then we're going to start talking about it experientially in terms of what is it like as you're living this life. Okay, so we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living one, who was once dead. I was having this conversation the other day, sharing the gospel with this person. And as I'm talking to this person, I knew this person was not Christian. And they were attacking me on this piece about him being dead. They're saying he wasn't. Jesus wasn't dead. He didn't really die. You might know where they were coming from. They were challenging. He became dead. They were saying, actually, he never died. That's one of the distinctives of his life, though, is that he conquered death. He actually was dead, and the nature of this life is that he resurrected, he beat death. So when we talk about this life, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who was dead in a former tense. So let's go to some other verses and talk about the nature of this life. I want you to go to, let's go to John 10. This life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, let's go to John 10. John 10. These things that we talk about here, we're going to talk about some things about this life, and I'm hoping we get some confidence, because then we're going to talk about what it's like experientially. John 10, verse. See, I'm getting old. I need to take my glasses off to see. Verse 28. He says, let's look at verse 27. My sheep are hearing my voice, and I am knowing them, and they are following me, and I'm giving to them eternal life, and into the age they certainly can't perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Let's just talk about this. First thing, when we talk about knowing this man, knowing the true God, when we talk about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something about this, what he's doing. A couple things. One, he's giving eternal life. He's the one giving it. We just saw in Revelation, he's having, I don't think we talked about this specifically, but he's having death. He's having the keys to death in Hades. So, and here he's telling you that those with this life can't be snatched from him. Okay? Let's just talk about all of these things together. This life that we're living is the life of the living one. So he's giving it to you so you can actually live it. And then he's saying, you can't be snatched out of my hand. Like you can't, someone can't take you from me. Do you see how this life is a permanent thing you have because you're in him? Do you see how all these things together? One, no one can snatch you out of his hand, so you can't reverse the eternal life you have. It's an unsnatchable life. Because to get the life from you, you've got to jack Jesus. You know what I mean by jack? Maybe you don't know. Like, give me that, Jesus. You have to be more. You have to tell Jesus, give me that. You can't do that to Jesus. You can't jack Jesus. You can't say, here's my car keys. I go outside tonight. I might go outside. I go down the street. And somebody can say, man, give me them keys. And guess what? If they, I'm going to give it to them. I'm not trying to get shot or something like that. I don't care about the car. Here, take the car. Jack it. You know what? There's not much. It's not that valuable to me. I don't care. Just take it. Just go ahead and take it. Snatch it from me. I don't care about the car. It's snatchable. When it comes to the life, the eternal life that's been given to you, the way you get it is you're in Christ. You're in the Christosphere, and then you get eternal life. The only way for you to lose it is for Jesus to get jacked by someone stronger than him. Who can jack? I ask you, who can jack Jesus? Can anybody? These are the keys to a rental car. He said, look, you can't jack his life. Here's what else he's got. He's got the keys to death. Listen. Piggybacking on what my brother just said, he told you that you won't see death. He's more powerful than death. You can't take the keys of, how are you going to just take the keys of death out of Jesus' hand? You can't do it. You don't have the power. Nobody has the power to jack. That's what he's saying is when we think about what we have with respect to the eternal life, which is this life that he just said lives throughout the ages. It's forevermore and forevermore. We're participating. Listen, this next thing talking about participation, but we're talking about a life that belongs to him, that he defines because he is the living one, and that eternal life deals with knowing him. I'm telling you, there's permanent. I'm telling you, there's like double down permanence more than anything else that you've ever had is this life. It's an eternal life that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's unsnatchable. You can't snatch it from him because he can't snatch you. And because you're the one that's in his hands, and by virtue of the fact that you're in his hands, you have eternal life. Do you understand? All right. Unsnatchable life. Let's go to 1 John 5. This is getting back to the nature of it. Because what you're going to find is that much has been said in the scriptures about you knowing what it is and you actually believing that you have it, because the Holy Spirit knows you're going to doubt this. You're going to walk this life and you're going to have a bad day and something's going to happen and you're going to say, did I get jacked? Am I really in Christ? Do I really have this eternal? Do I really have this? This doesn't seem to be working out the way I was thinking about it. Has Jesus been, you know, something wrong here? Okay. 1 John 5. Okay. Where do I want to go here? Go to 1 John 5. Let's start at verse 9. If we are having the testimony of men, testimony of God is greater. By the way, I didn't cover this. This would be another verse that would speak to what we talked about earlier in Deuteronomy about the nature of witnesses. But we could discuss that as well. But talking about the testimony of God. Verse 10. The one believing in the Son of God is having the testimony in himself. The one not believing God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony which God has testified concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. Okay, you're waiting. Wait. What is this testimony? The testimony is, and this is the testimony, that God gave to us eternal life. And this, the life, is in his Son. The one having the Son is having the life. The one not having the Son of God is not having the life. If you've got this testimony in you, you've got the life, because the testimony is a testimony of God concerning his Son. By the way, the only way you get this testimony is by grace through faith. You get this through faith. You just don't one day believe this. You believe this because you receive this testimony, you receive this belief, you receive this faith, you've been given it by grace, and when you have this testimony within yourself, you have the Son. He who has the Son has life. So you have this life, and this is how you know. It's like I've got this testimony. I'm saying what God is testifying about his Son. And this is saying that I have a life. You guys with me? I have this life because this testimony, I'm talking like God, and this life is in his Son. So if I have his Son, then I have a life. Okay. All right. So let's start talking about some other things. So we know we have the Son because we testify. We talk like God. That's the only way we can talk like God, is we have the Son. We have this belief. And the having the life is knowing him. I'm knowing him. I'm understanding. I'm perceiving who he is. That's what it means. So I know that I have this life. So let's go to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. I'm going to look at a couple different passages here in Colossians 3. First of all, Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3. Okay, this is now getting to some other practical things, some of the things that Rick talked about as well. Let's look at verse 3. If therefore you were raised with the Christ, be seeking the things above where the Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Be thinking on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. Okay. So now let's talk about a couple things. So when we talk about this life, he says a number of things here at the same time. First thing he says, when this life that we're living, this is a dead life. This is a life that's dead with respect to me. It's kind of like I can't live this life in my flesh and in the spirit at the same time. The Christ life won't be operating as the Christ life if I'm trying to do my own thing. It's kind of like the unequal yoke, right? It's kind of like don't yoke a donkey and an ox together. Well, what happens if you yoke a donkey and an ox? Well, they just walk different. One of them walks this direction. One of them walks over here. One of them's fast. One of them's stronger than the other. They're competing against one another. They're not. It's not the way they should walk. This principle, I guess you could use this principle in many ways, but let's just talk about what happens. It's like he's saying, therefore, if we're dead, if I've died with Christ, do you see how this becomes a, we'll use an academic term, you see how this is like a prerequisite for you operating in the life of Christ? You've got to be, it says, therefore, you were raised with the Christ. Be seeking the things above. For you died and your life is hidden with the Christ in God. What is he talking about with the you? He's talking about that soul part of you. He's talking about your soulical, fleshly, carnal approach to things. He's talking about how you've got to die. You've got to lose your life so you can live in this life. You've got to lose your soulical life. You've got to lose your soulical priorities. And that ought to be dead as you died with the Lord Jesus Christ. You died with Christ. Gone. Bye-bye. Done with that. And so the expectation is that the prerequisite of you being dead to yourself, dead to your own will, what should it result in? Verse 2 and 3. It should result in a radical shift in what you think about. It's like, okay, I could be thinking about all these things that I want to think about, but hey, those things that I want to think about, those things are dead. They're smashed. So instead, what I should be doing is what? Be thinking on the things above, setting my mind on these things. Now, as we move forward here, what you're going to see that the scriptures that we talk about, you're going to see that they deal with you being very intentional. You know what I'm saying? Very intentional. Be thinking. Set your mind. Think about. I want you to be focused and decide what you're going to think about. You're going to have to take thoughts into captivity. You are not going to be able to live the life of... Listen. You're not going to be able to live the life of Christ passively. You're not going to be able to... Because what's going to happen is thoughts are going to come into your mind that are your flesh. Don't think about those things. Set your mind on things above. Who is it? Who made up this? Who made up you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good? Who said that? Probably someone who's carnal. That's who said that. That's not in the Bible. Well, you're so heavenly minded. You know who said that? Somebody who doesn't like you talking about Jesus all the time. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Wait a minute. This guy. This guy is just saying this because he doesn't want you to be heavenly. How can being heavenly minded not be good? Who's in heaven? Jesus. Who's in heaven? God. What is being heavenly minded? Thinking about the things that are being thought at the throne room of God. I think that'd be pretty good. I think that the Lord Jesus Christ is always thinking about you. So I think Christ is earthly minded. He died for you. He's done more than anybody's ever. The person from heaven who came down to earth is more earthly minded. He's earthly minded. He loves people on earth so much that he died for them. That's what being heavenly minded is. Loving people on earth. Set your mind. So the first thing you've got here when he says, be thinking on the thing, he's basically saying, okay, you want to live the Christ life? Give all your mind to this. Put all your mind on this. On the Lord. On what? On this belief. On knowing. This knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know how you think. I want to know what you would do. I want to know what you're like. I want to know your motives. I want to know who you are. I want to experience what it's like to be in suffering. I want to know everything about you. This is eternal. I want to know you. Eternal life is him. Believing on him. It is him. So the way I live it is I start to operate and think as and knowing him in every way I can know him. And I set my mind. You see how this is intentional? Let's jump down in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. I want you to jump down to verse 17. Okay, he already talked about what he wants you to think about. Verse 17, and he says, and everything, whatever you may do in work or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything you think, everything you do. I want in everything, whether in word or in work, word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. At your job, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you walk down the street, do it in the name. As you drive down the street. Oh, the Holy Spirit, by the way, will show you. He will show you. Radically everything you think and everything you do. Is for him. Because you're dead. That's the life. It's just it's radically everything you're thinking about, everything you're doing. Everything you're thinking, everything you do. All right. We're going to talk about some other things now. Christ, this life is, Jesus is. This life, he is the living one. He is eternal life. Okay? He's the living one. We want to know him. This life we have is permanent because it deals with him. It deals with things he did. So it's with us. It's eternal and it's unsnatchable. Let's talk about some other characteristics of this life. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, talk about the nature of this life. Okay. Let's go to verse 10. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead through sin, but the Spirit is life through righteousness. But if the Spirit of the one having raised Jesus from the dead is housed in you, the one having raised the Christ from the dead will also enliven your mortal bodies through his indwelling Spirit. You've got here this same life, this resurrection life that lives in Christ is the resurrection life that will raise you up. This is the same life that will live through you because in your soul you're saying, I'm dead, so I need a life to live. Lord, I'm giving you my body. I'm giving you my body so that as I clothe myself with Christ, so that you live through me, so that my own, you can't use my body. My body won't be used anymore for sin. My body is going to be used for your glory, to glorify you. So the life that I now live in, I'm going to live this life through the same power, the same life that you live. We're talking about the same life. Do you see how you have the same life? Jesus, this is Jesus' life. You have the same, you have the Spirit. Now you have the life that rose him from the dead. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's life. Now it's living within you. Do you see how this is a collective life? Do you see how that everyone is living through the same life? Like, it's kind of like, I hear so much talk about people, the way they, how would I put it? The way they think about Christ and the way they think about their spiritual walk with him, that sounds very, very individualistic. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you've got your journey and I've got my journey and I've got my Jesus and you've got your Jesus and he's my personal Jesus. No, it's there's one life. It's the life of Christ. Living through all of us. All of us, not just in this room, every believer on the globe. When we are all resurrected, will there be billions of lives? The one life will enliven us. I like that, like the word you use. Enliven, it will. One. It's the life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of God. It's the life. Can you let your this is a good time for your imagination. Can you let your imagination run with this thought about us living our lives as from the one life from God? Wouldn't there always be, there'd be a lot of harmony, wouldn't there? There'd be a lot of similar thinking, wouldn't there? There's not like, it's kind of like I'm talking to, I'm thinking about, I don't know why, I'm just thinking of a person I was talking to recently about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were not in agreement, and I was like, they were like, well, that's fine. Like, you're that's how you faith, and that's how I faith. Like, no, that's not, no, that's not really. I mean, I know there has to be a disagreement. The reason there has to be a disagreement is so one of us can be right and one can be. I mean, I know there's going to be disagreements, but the reason there's a disagreement is so somebody can probably get corrected. But I'm thinking, this is not, we're not together on this. We're not on the same, we're not operating. We're not, do you see how this is saying that we are, the Spirit, the Christ in you is the Christ that rose, the life in you is the life that resurrected the Lord. Do you see how this is, there's not a bunch of different lives. This is a collective life. This is one mind. There's one resurrection. Okay. Let's look at Matthew 4. So it's a spiritually collective life. It is a Matthew 4. It is a, I'm telling you. There's another Deuteronomy quote. Matthew 4, Jesus is being tempted. The devil says in verse 3, and approaching him, the tempter says, "If you're the Son of God, speak to these stones that they may become bread." But he, having answered it, said, "It has been written, not upon bread only shall man live, but upon every word going out throughout the mouth of God." This is not so. This is taken also from, this is in Deuteronomy as well, in Deuteronomy 8. All right. This life is a radically word-governing life. Radically word-focused. Jesus, I was talking to Tim about this a couple weeks ago. Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word that's coming out of the mouth of God. That's what Jesus says. Okay. There's people going around all day long who don't believe a word of God, and they're living, right? They're living. Not like he's saying life. Not the way he's talking about how you live. How you live this life, how you live this Revelation 1, John 17, how you live this life of Christ, how you live this eternal life, this Christ our life, is you live it by the Word of God. Very radically, you live it by the Word of God. Okay. Here's one way I think about it. I don't know. What if you thought about this by category? Life category. And you just said, Holy Spirit, just show me. I want you to just break down life categories for me. And he starts showing you this is how you live. This is, let's just break it up. This is your wife, and this is your family, and this is your job. And you start thinking, I'm going to be very radical in the way I think and the way I talk in all those situations that I'm going to be very radical. Like, if God doesn't have an opinion about this, I'm not going to have an opinion about this. If God says do this in this situation, I'm going to do that in that situation. And I'm going to be very radical to find out the Lord Jesus Christ thinking, the Word of God thinking in all of those ways, in all of those different things, and I'm going to live by that. I'm not going to make it up as I go along. It was just my imagination. I'm not going to make stuff up. I'm going to very specifically, when I'm on a day-by-day basis, I'm going to live in a way that relies on the Word of God. I'm not going to look for an excuse. I'm not going to disregard that, hey, Bible's saying this, but it doesn't feel convenient, doesn't really feel comfortable. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be very radical, and it's going to require me to learn more about the Scriptures. It's going to require me to, like, just constantly eat of the Word of God, understand what He thinks. Most of the time, he thinks something about it, but you just don't know. Oh, he's got an opinion about that, but I just don't know what it is because I haven't I haven't studied the word. I don't know what the word says about that thing. But I was talking to Tim about this a couple weeks ago. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus uses the word of God. Jesus doesn't put himself over it. He doesn't say, well, I'm a prophet. I am the prophet and I am the Christ. And I could just say something. I could just rebuke. I'm sick of dealing with this demon here. I'm just going to rebuke you. Demon, get out of my face. He don't do that. Snap on the demon. He doesn't do that. He uses the scriptures. Jesus uses the scriptures. Jesus is the life. He's showing you how to live it, but he is the life. And so the life, that's the way the life lives. He lives by every word. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's the way. That is the way. I'm telling you, it's radical. Jesus talked like this. He talked like, the only thing I say is what I hear my Father say. Huh? Here's what I have to say. Huh? Nothing to say? Okay. This is the way he lives. He lives like I don't jump outside of the God. I don't jump outside of what my Father has to say. You've got to be very intentional about this. Do you think this happened for Jesus accidentally? Think it was accidental? I think it was very intentional. I think Jesus decided this, and he's deciding, okay, I'm not saying this. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to speak to this person. How about this? How about all the sin Jesus dealt with on a daily basis that he said nothing about? You ever think about that? He's just walking along on earth. He's perfect. I'm telling you, he's got knowledge about, like he's got, he sees sin like every day. That guy is, and he's just not judging it. He's just not bringing it up. Nope, not the time for that. Gonna judge that later. Not necessary to mention that. That might crush that person's fit. Oh, I'm gonna say something about this. Nope, not good. Most of what he does is just not say something. I'm telling you, Jesus is radically, radically word driven. Which makes sense because he wrote it. Do you understand? The life of God, when he walked on this earth, spoke only what the word, he only spoke like the word of God. Okay. Man, there's so many things we could talk about here. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Okay. Second Corinthians 5. Verse 13. For if we were out of our senses, it was for God. If we are of sound thinking, it's for you. For the devotion of the Christ is constraining us, having judged this, that if one died for all, then the all died. And he died for all so that the living should no longer be living for themselves, but for the one having died and having risen for them. This life is other focused. This life is love compelled and other focused. Let me say it again. It's love compelled and other focused. This life is not living for itself. And this life is compelled, prodded, pushed. Like, love won't let me stop living for someone else. And the someone else, this love is living for God. And as this life is living for God, it cannot not love you. There's no such thing as living this life and not being, I'm telling you, like not being utterly filled and compelled and drawn to love other people in a way that is absolutely, I'm telling you, is not really focused on yourself. It doesn't look at all like you thinking about yourself. It's like, okay, I've died, and now this life that I'm living, love is compelling me to live in this way. It's constraining me. It's impacting me. And I'm seeing that Jesus died for everyone. And because he died for everyone, that those living should no longer be living for themselves. So because he died, I should not at all be. I'm thinking, man, wow. This is what the life is. This is like I'm knowing something about him. What am I knowing here? I'm knowing that he died for me. And he died for everyone. Wait a minute. He died for that jackleg dude that I don't want to love? Yes, he died for all. Wait a minute. He died for that crackhead dude? Yes, he died for the crackhead. Wait a minute. He died for the ISIS dude that wants to go bomb a bunch of kids? He died for that guy. And because he died for that guy, you see, because he died for all, I'm like, I can't live for me. I got to live for him. I can't do this. I can't live like it's about me. It's all about me. I can't live like it's all about me. All I want to do is have some fun. I got a feeling I'm not the only one. I mean, I got to act. Is that the way I got to act? Like, I just want to chill. No. Do you see how? Do you see how in a text like this? Do you see how knowing him results in this emanating, filling love for someone? Do you see how knowing what he's like, knowing that he came from heaven, gave his life, came down to earth, and died for jackleg people like me? And when I know this, like the more I really just understand this, I'm like, now it's like, I can't act. How can I be selfish then? How can I act like it's all about me? I can't. Love then changes the way. This light, love just radically shifts the way that I think about me. As I juxtapose myself, the fact that I'm supposed to be dead, so I'm dead. Now I need to live by your life. Well, how do you live in your life? You live for everyone else. I like the way that Rick said it. You live like a servant. You came to serve. Son of Man came here to serve, and I need to live like that because that's the life he lives. And he's going to live that life through me. I'm telling you, it's a radical, radical word oriented, but it's a radical love. Orientation, devotion, love, agape. Let's go to Luke 12. We could do this all night. This is so many things here. Luke 12. How it reads. The guy comes up to him, and here's what he wants to know. The guy comes up to him, verse 13. He says, "Hey, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Like I got this dispute, and you're a judge. It sounds like you can adjudicate stuff. Could you help me with this? Could you get my brother to act right?" He's trying to cheat me out of some inheritance. Could you help me out here? I'm in the right. Could you go tell him to divide the inheritance with me? Maybe he's cheating him. Maybe he's not, actually. I guess it doesn't have to be that. But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or divider over you?" But he said to them, "Be watching out and guarding from this greed, because no one's life is the abundance of possessions." Here's a negative. Here's a negative about this life. It's not about your stuff. You've got another prerequisite that this is going to trip you up here. We already saw one prerequisite. That's a broader prerequisite. If you're not dead to yourself, if you're not losing yourself, losing your soul, you're going to be tripped up in this life. Here's an example of the kind of thing you can trip you up: your stuff. If you are focused on your stuff, on the things that you have, so this is a no stuff life. It's not really focused on you retaining stuff. It's not. I mean, look, the world's going to tell you the exact opposite. The world's going to tell you, dude, get your 401k together. Get your earning potential up. Here's how you know when somebody's feeling guilty when they're talking. There's nothing wrong with having money. Whenever someone says something, there's nothing wrong with it. That means they're feeling a little bit. Yeah, man, I know what I'm saying. A little bit off. Yeah, nothing wrong with it. Yeah, just watch when someone's talking. You say, "Oh, nothing wrong with that." And then they're conflicted with that. They're conflicted. Because if it was nothing wrong, if you didn't think in your heart there's something jacked up here, you wouldn't be qualifying it all the time. Jesus just said, your life doesn't consist of things. He didn't say, nothing wrong with things. Jesus doesn't come back. Okay, nothing wrong with having money. He didn't say that. He just lets it stand. He's word-oriented. He just says what the Father says. Don't qualify. Don't come back and make an apology. Don't be ashamed of what the truth is. Just stand in that word. And he says, your life. This is a no stuff life. Okay? This stuff is one of those things that ends up choking the seed of the word, right? Choking it. Just get confused with life and the regular day-to-day stuff. And after a while, I'm so day-to-day focused in my job and my savings and my bills and all that. You can just see the life. You're thinking it consists of things, and it doesn't. The life of Christ doesn't. The devil's life does. The devil's got his own carnal. Yeah, that does. That's what he wants you to be. He wants you to be stuff-oriented, because if you're stuff-oriented, he knows you'll be anxious. And he knows you'll be focused on the wrong things. Prerequisite of this life. Just take it light on the stuff. Be like this. Yeah, I don't really care about stuff. It's all going to burn up anyway. This life, let's go to John 4. I like this verse here, John 4. Jesus meets this woman. John 4. By the way, do you ever wonder why sometimes, like, you got Mary Magdalene, and you ever wonder why sometimes Jesus speaks so plainly with women in the Bible? Just like, you're the Christ? Yes, I am. Like, just getting with, yes, I am him. Just plain like that. Just very direct. John 4. Jesus, verse 13. Jesus answered her and said, "Everyone drinking of this water," talking about the well, will be thirsting again. But whoever may drink of the water which I will give to him, it will become in him a spring of water springing up into eternal life." The woman said, "Lord, give me this water. Give me the water that just shows up like a bubbling fountain. I want that." This is the life of God. An everlasting, delicious, satiating, can we say thirst quenching life. Let me ask you, when people deal with you, are they going, "Give me what that guy's got"? There's something in, he's living in a way that is just, he seems enamored with this person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He seems to have satisfaction. Man, I want that. If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And it'll be a fountain. It'll be like an unlimited flow of eternal life. Like, you will, look, other people will be refreshed by you. Other people will be seeing life in you. And you will be satisfied. You will be living in me. You will be drinking from me. You will be just like that, you know, like that. When I read this verse, I think about, you know, like sitting under that big flowing shower that, you know, like you take the shower, you're just like just that, you know, that fresh flow. It's like, you're just like, I'm enjoying this. The life of God. Don't you guys enjoy coming to the conference? It's like, don't you just feel like this, man? I'm just enjoying the Lord Jesus. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm driving down the road. I'm listening to the Bible. Do you experience this? Do you experience this sense of, like, when I'm enjoying Christ? Like, do you enjoy Christ? When people deal with you, can they tell that you're enjoying the Lord Jesus? Is he refreshing you? Is he satisfying you? If the answer is no, what I would say is go back to knowing him. Go back to him. Look at him. Maybe you're not looking. You're not with him enough. You're not, as my brother said, it's not gonna 15 minutes of looking is not gonna, you're not gonna sense this who he is in this way. It's a satisfying life. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. Running out of time here. Second Timothy 3. Okay, verse 12, he says, "Those wanting to live piously in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." It's a persecuted life. It's an everlasting, there's a word focus, there's a love compelling, it's not about things, it's a satisfied life, and there's going to be trial and persecution. How can this go? There's going to be, as you live this life, you're living it in the world, and people in the world aren't going to like it. They're going to be angry. Sometimes they're going to be confused. There are times that I'm like, wow, I'm actually encouraged very often that what we're saying is true, because sometimes you see how angry people get about it. It's like, what is this? Since you don't believe this, okay, fine. I'm going to not bother you, but why are you so mad at me when I tell you about this? Like, I find this to be like, okay, this is because what I'm saying is true, and the spirit behind the way you live is demonic, and it hates what I'm saying. Because I don't understand, since you're so confident in the way you live, I don't see why you're so mad at me. If you want to, I'll share the gospel with you, and if you get mad at me, you reject it, I'm thinking it's bad because you don't believe it, but I'm not like wanting to beat you up and mad at you. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to leave you alone. All right, you don't want to, you. I find this when I'm sharing the gospel with people, people just get angry at me. Like this guy I was talking to a couple days ago, just got mad. I'm like, what are you so mad? I'm actually talking to you about grace and about the love of Christ, and you're bringing up other, you want to hit me in the jaw. Only reason you're not doing it is because it's illegal in this country. And if we were in some country where it was not illegal, you'd probably punch me in the lip right now if you're mad at me. You want to persecute me. You resent the Lord Jesus Christ. You resent the testimony of Him. You resent this life. And if you want to live this life for Christ, you're going to be persecuted. That's the nature of this life. You're going to be attacked. And it still goes along with all the other things we're talking about. And you still ought to love. And you still ought not be focused on. And you should still be satisfied. It's a persecuted life. Let's just close with one other thing. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. Okay. First Peter 1. Okay. This life is, this is kind of cool. How about we call it like this? This is a live forever life. This is getting back to what we were talking about earlier. This is like you're not going to die. It's a live forever life. Say live forever. Live forever life. Can I get an amen? We're going to live forever. Here's how it goes. He says, verse 23, having been begotten again, not from corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through a living word of God continuing into the age. Okay. When we were born by a corruptible seed. The seed by which, look, Adam wasn't born like this, but Adam hung out with the fruit too long and his wife said, this is delicious. Why don't you have some? And he ate it. Maybe he didn't. She didn't say this is delicious, but this is delicious. It's fruity and have some. And he had some. And Jesus said, the Lord said, in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So Adam was made incorrupt. He was made, but he died that day. And so since Adam, we've been born with this corruptible seed. In other words, in you, when you were born, there's just in your members, there's decay. Like from the moment you're conceived, you're dying. I'm growing up. Oh, it's so good to see the little kids are growing up. They're dying. You understand? They're corruptible. They're growing up, but they're decaying already. Is this too harsh? You know what I'm saying? Is this harsh? You see this negatively. Everyone's dying. I was talking to people in my family. I think I told some of you my grandmother just died. And we were talking about it, and somebody was saying, oh, I feel, you know. I was like, we're all dying. We're all going to die. Might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be on the way back home. It might be next week. It might be in 50 years, or the Lord's going to come back. But we're all dying. The reason we're all dying is because we have corruptible seed. We're born according to decay. We're all dying. Little kids are dying. Little babies are dying. 50-year-old people are dying. We're all dying because of the seed, because of how we're, okay? But you've been begotten again. You've been born again. But this seed is incorruptible. It can't die. It's a different seed. It's offsetting. It's a spiritual birth. And it's And it's giving you this living word life. Now you have this new life that cannot, do you understand? This new life you have comes from a new seed because it comes through a living word of God that's continuing through the ages, through the eons. It's a non-stoppable, unstoppable, never die. This seed never dies. Do you understand that? That's what you have now. You've got a living forever life now. It can't die. Not be, the corruptible seed, your body can still go back to the earth. But I'm telling you, your life, the life you live now, can't die. Okay. Do you live like you can't die? Do you think like you can't die? Do you believe you can't die? If you don't, you need to look at him. You need to observe him. You need to go back and look at the one who is eternal life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, John 17. He is, you're not looking hard enough. Do you believe you cannot die? You can't. If you're born of this incorruptible seed. Because this seed continues into the ages. It's an ongoing through the ages seed. It's got a whole different makeup, right? It's got a different makeup. And you've got in our earthly members, we've got decay. This doesn't have decay. This, and this is how I'll close. This is about living on a day-to-day basis, observing, believing, and knowing Jesus Christ our life. Living on a day-to-day basis. Like in Timothy, this is about laying hold. It's kind of like, what is laying hold? Laying hold is like having a good grip. Do you have a good grip on the life that is the Lord Jesus Christ and not letting go, and on a day-to-day basis, all of my thinking, everything that I do, understanding that I'm going to be persecuted, living by the word of God, obeying who he is, observing him in a constant way, and dying to myself that I might live as if I will never die, because that's the truth. I'm not going to die. I'm just going to put down this earthly tabernacle. Amen? Let's live like that. Amen.